Welcome to the Hideous Laughter Podcast. This is Brooks, the classy one of the bunch. I am the voice of Ikmer. Thank you for coming back to our actual play, Actually Drunk Podcast. Hope you are having as much fun listening as we are playing. Please visit us at hideouslaughterpodcast.com. Follow us on IG at Hideous Laughter Pod and at Facebooks. And at Twitter, at Laughter Hideous. We love to hear feedback, and in this episode, we are getting brain in the library.
Do you like liquor and things that go boo? Then buckle up, listener, because this one's for you. Prepare yourself for the Hideous Laughter Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Hideous Laughter Podcast. We're so happy you've made it back after our first three episodes. We released those, and you came back for another episode of our Drunken Shenanigans. We're so glad to have you. So before we get into our Pathfinder stuff, what I really, really am dying to know is, what's everybody drinking?
I guess I'll start.
That was the slowest open I've ever heard.
Oh, every time. I'm
really enjoying it.
What you doing, Steve?
Just in case people are wondering, I'm drinking a Hams.
Wow. How about you, Brooks?
I am still drinking White Claw, the purest hard seltzer in the world.
Still drinking.
Still.
Since, like, last time, have you just been drinking it for
nonstop? Week after week.
Okay. How about you, Haley?
I am currently, I've got two drinks actually queued up.
Oh, double fisting.
I know, right? It's dangerous. But I am drinking both rum drinks, and one's like a mock pina colada.
Okay. Emily?
Never again. I'm drinking a hard seltzer.
I take a real nasty sip of it like I do.
Yeah,
I can't go that far.
I think you can.
So guys, how's everybody feeling about the campaign? That's what I'm really interested in this time. You know, we've got three episodes under our belts. You know your characters a little bit. We've got a little action. We had some combat. We had some role play.
Some romance.
No romance.
Hello, Pipsy. I wrote you a card.
Oh, God.
So, how is everybody feeling about their character, about how this podcast is going so far? Steve, why don't you start us off? We'll go in the same order.
Oh, man. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. Clearly, I've never done anything like this. I've played Pathfinder, but never distributed to what I can only assume
our parents.
Is our parents plus three or four people. But yeah, I've been having a good time. I've really been enjoying playing Mitsunobe. He is probably the most interesting character concept that I've put together. So I've just been really enjoying it, having a good time, and I've really been enjoying drinking on Mike.
Drinking on Mike, yeah. I mean, that's my favorite part too.
Yeah.
How about you, Brooks?
Slurping on Mike, more like.
Most of the time, it's just how disgusting can I make this ham sound, which in and of itself sounds pretty gross.
It's delicious.
Well, feeling pretty good. I love this. Love the campaign so far. A lot of different avenues we could take, and it is shaping up pretty scary so far.
Pretty spooky.
That's good.
Yeah.
You had some spooks. You know, started off on a funeral. You got some visions.
Trouble sleeping.
Oh yeah, and as far as Ikmer goes, it's pretty. It's a little bit of a challenge to play someone that doesn't have quite the same amount of intelligence as your normal character, but it's fun to work through that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Ikmer's been pretty active regardless of his mental stats, so I feel like you've been playing pretty well.
Oh, thanks.
How about you, Haley?
Yeah, I guess starting off with how it feels like just playing with Eclipse. Eclipse in general, I think, could be really, really awesome when she gets to like a higher level. But she has some cool abilities so far that I don't think we've been able to see, which I can't wait to display those. But so far, I'm just really curious what the hell is at my window.
What is that, or is it the window?
No!
With the waggly tail.
Oh, God.
I have questions.
I don't want to know.
Oh, it's facing forward. So,
Jesus Christ.
So, Haley, you're telling me Eclipse has more abilities than Ghost Town?
Oh, yeah, it's surprising, but yes.
Okay, I'm excited to see that. How about you, Emily?
I'm having a lot of fun playing as Lyra. She's definitely the most complicated player or character that I've ever played. And I spent a lot of time making her, so it's fun to actually see how she can interact in this world. And I'm excited to see how she develops or degrades over time. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, geez, I'm really proud of, you know, the kind of stuff we put together thus far. I think you guys have been doing a phenomenal job playing your characters. I'm really excited for where the campaign's going. I love the fact that we can get together as a group of friends and drink at the table and record.
Oh, we're friends?
Some of us, yeah.
I think this is the first time.
Wow. So, with all of that fun out of the way, I'd like to get started. And where we left off,
Steven,
post slurp, is that
it's everywhere.
Oh no.
Where we left off is that Eclipse went to bed. All of you went to bed. Eclipse went to bed, and as she was kind of getting herself under the covers, she heard this tapping. And the tapping grew louder. And as she got up from bed, she searched one window. Nothing. She went to the other window in her room. And Eclipse, as you open this window, you see this raven. And you immediately can tell it's not a normal raven. What I'd like you to do is make me a perception check.
Alrighty. 14.
14. Yeah. You're staring at this raven, and it's tapping at the window. And as you look at it, you're not sure, like, is your vision blurring? But you feel like you can see straight through it.
Is it a shadow?
I don't know. Is it a shadow? It makes no noise. Except when it taps, and it continues to tap at your window. What do you do?
So I guess, have I opened my window yet or not?
No, I assume it's still tapping. And then it can see you, and you're looking like straight into its eyes.
Can I try and talk to it, or does it not look like it would be able to talk?
If you have knowledge nature, you certainly can make that. If not, I want to say, like, a knowledge religion would be a good one to make.
So have neither.
Neither of those, then, you're not sure. You definitely would probably try to talk to it, then.
Okay, so I will actually open the window and try to talk to it.
Oh, so you open the window.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's a mistake out of character, but in character, yeah.
You open the window, and its wings flap. And where you would expect a fluttering sound, silence.
Oh, that's good.
And it lands on your bedside table. What do you do?
I am fairly concerned, but at the same time, it doesn't seem to be doing a lot of harm. So, I will grab... Number one, I'm going to grab that book that I tied up, just in case this somehow ties to that, and hold it very close.
Okay.
Because I don't want the raven to take my book. Yeah, no, definitely don't want that. And then, you said it's a shadow, but do I know that?
It's a shadow. You can see through it, is what you know.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna try and feed it some bread.
Do you have bread?
Yes. I have rations or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you try and feed it, and it continues to stare at you, and it seems like it pays no mind to the bread.
Can I pet it then?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna pet the bird.
Your hand goes right through it.
Oh man, that's awesome. So I guess it's my friend now. I'm gonna close the window.
Okay.
This is my bird now, right?
As far as you know. And while you're up there closing the window, it finally makes noise and it squawks at you.
Drown!
Oh.
Drown!
Oh. I ask it, I'm gonna say, who drowned?
Drowned!
And then it flutters to the corner of the room. And it's still staring at you apprehensively.
Can I follow it? Like, is there anything in the corner?
I mean, it's like your room has a bookshelf in the corner of the room. It's up at the top of that.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I guess I'm gonna try and call to whoever's room would be closest to mine.
So that would be Lyra's room.
Okay, so I'm gonna say, Lyra, can you come here?
Okay, Lyra, make me a perception check.
14.
You haven't quite gone to bed yet, and so you can hear this coming through the wall that your rooms share. And I assume you probably, hustle over.
Yeah.
And as Lyra enters Eclipse's room, the bird fades.
No.
And it fades. And by the time Lyra's in the room, the bird has gone through the wall and is gone.
Oh.
As far as you know.
Oh, thanks.
Eclipse, what's wrong?
There was definitely a bird in here, but I couldn't pet it or feed it.
Were you dreaming?
No, I didn't even go to bed yet.
Huh. Well, do you want me to, like, stay here, see if it comes back, or just go back to sleep?
I guess you can go back, and I'll call you if it comes again.
Did it go somewhere, or just gone?
It just disappeared.
Huh.
Okay, so you guys had a bit of a strange experience. Are you both heading back to bed?
Yeah, Lyra would just, I guess, kind of assume that it was just as Eclipse was falling asleep, she maybe thought she saw a shadow or something and would just go back to her room, not think too much of it.
Okay, how about Eclipse?
I think Eclipse will keep her window open for now in case
it comes back.
She wants to figure out more of what's happening. And she will probably just kind of lay in bed, but keep that book next to her. I don't necessarily think it's all related, but at the same time, no chances.
Are you looking, like, outside for the bird at all, or are you just going to bed?
I guess I'd probably take a peek outside real quick, but...
Okay, make me a perception check.
All right. Can do. Let me find my d20. Thanks. 15.
So, you don't see the raven.
But I see wolves.
Wolves outside. So you don't see the raven, but you actually see this figure. And he's maybe in the distance, probably two buildings over. He's two buildings away from you, and he looks like he's like in the shadows. he's still, and it looks like he's been watching your window.
Okay. I feel incredibly uncomfortable now. And we'll be shutting the window.
He sees, like, you can tell once you kind of lock eyes with the spot he's in, he shuffles back behind the building and out of sight.
All right, shutting the window for sure. And gonna see if maybe I can go sleep in Lyra's room.
I think we established canonically that that Ikmer has bunk beds and one of
those. Yeah,
Ikmer
does have bunk beds, so.
Yeah, I think Eclipse would probably feel weird sleeping in the bedroom with a 13-year-old half-orc.
Each their own.
That's fair, yeah. Most of the people in town don't seem like they'd be too perturbed by it.
So I'm just gonna, you know, like, knock on Lyra's door.
And she's probably not asleep yet, so she'll open the door.
Hey, Lyra. I saw a guy out there. I don't feel comfortable sleeping now and without someone else also being in the same room.
Oh, yeah, you can totally sleep in here. It's a pretty big bed. You're pretty small, so I think we'll be fine.
Sleep in my drawer.
Shut up.
I would probably also, if my room has a window, go to the window and, like, look around, maybe ask Eclipse.
Are you also making a perception check?
Yeah. 3?
Yeah, you're, Eclipse kind of described where she saw this guy, and you don't see anything. And the moon's pretty high in the sky. It's not pitch black outside. You can kind of see. So your thought might be, okay, I don't necessarily know if she's telling me the truth and saw something, or if there's truly, like, I didn't see the raven, I didn't see the dude. So it kind of seems strange. So you let her into your room. And Ikmer and Matumbe, is there anything your characters are doing before they go to sleep?
Did we hear that raven when it cawed?
You wouldn't. So it took Haley a decent perception check to hear it tapping on her window.
But when it cawed inside?
Yeah, you can roll a perception, it'd be difficult, especially because you guys are across the house. For either of you to
have necessarily. If I hadn't heard it, he wouldn't have been listening for it. So.
Yeah.
So Matume's trying to get a full night's rest, but he also, I think last episode we established that he could take some time this night to investigate this book he has with the fly and the skull on the cover, this battered brown tome. I know I have 2 books, but that's the one I'm a little bit more interested in.
Well, that's the one you saw the professor's writing.
Exactly.
So I remember you being curious about what he was writing. Like, why was he studying this so intently?
So would you like Matumbe to take a roll or just spend a few hours?
I assume you can take a 20 with this.
Okay.
And really you're reading through the text. So you now know some things about Urgothoa, but you're also pretty intently looking at the margins. If you're taking 20, you're probably taking your time. So you get through a couple chapters of the book in the 2 hours or so that you're reading through it.
Sure.
You see many passages about just these kind of depraved ceremonies that are sacred to Urgothoa. It's like eating corpses. It's like forcing people into undeath. It's eating until you die type of stuff. And it's honestly, as a worshiper of Pharasma, probably
it's
pretty
sickens.
Unsettling to,
yeah, it sickens my tomb,
to read. But you see in the margins what the professor is writing is a lot of like, this coincides with the way, with what the way is teaching. This he's looking at these ceremonies and he's like, it's like how does this work? How is this something that, you know, people do? How is this something that, like, gives you strength, that kind of thing? He's yeah. scribbling all over the place, but really you can tell in his writings, he's really trying to break down a lot of the ceremonies and sure. stuff that they're describing into their basis parts and saying, like, okay, I've seen this happen, or I've read about this happening in this cult, or I've read about, so you're starting to get the sense that he's not reading it to perform the ceremonies. Which
is a relief, because we had those accusations from the villagers saying that he's a necromancer.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you're yes. reading this and seeing that, oh, it seems like the professor is legitimately studying this for, you know,
knew some folks who were doing this, or knew about folks who were doing this and was trying to tie it all together.
And you can definitely yeah. see in his writings that he mentions the way in his notes several sure. times. And you know, you wouldn't have to make a roll to know that, you know, that was what kept being referenced is in his journal, the way, the mm-hmm. whispering way. Mm-hmm. And so I think you probably go to bed, but Tube goes to bed with this sense of relief that the professor isn't a necromancer. This guy that he liked isn't a bad person, or doesn't seem to be, but he's also kind of got this renewed sense of dread. Like, there's this group out there
yes.
that's doing this shit, like that's killing people and raising them. That's eating corpses. That's just like the most depraved stuff you've ever read.
And I'm a long way from home.
Exactly.
To hear that this is happening where I am right now, that is worrying. And I'm a little bit of a fish out of water here.
Yeah, so I imagine everybody gets to sleep and
Yeah, quick question though. You said second building, or like behind another building. So is that like all on Lorimore's property, or is that?
So Lorimore is still in the town of Ravengrove. He's just okay. kind of on the outskirts. So there, he has neighbors and further neighbors, and they're kind of on a cobblestone path that is then if you were to cross the path, there are some shops and stuff. So he's not out in the boonies or anything. He lives in town. He's just on the outskirts. So he has a bit more property. So when you looked out, you saw like his second neighbor there in the moonlight. There was a guy kind of creepily standing by that house.
Doing a little bit like a Mike Myers thing, like
yeah, exactly. staring off. He was staring at you in the moonlight, and you could tell, I mean, Eclipse knew you wouldn't have to roll a sense motive to know that he was looking at you.
Okay. I was just checking. And then, second thing, go Sirenscape. Good call on the music. Very creepy, very sitting.
I'm like terrified just sitting here.
I made you all sign up that you do a Gothic Horror podcast, you know. You're too scared now.
Lordy, lordy.
What were you saying?
That was it.
Okay. So you all get to sleep, and aside from probably Ikmer, it's a restless night of sleep. It's not restful at all. Lyra, you're woken up several times by Eclipse mumbling things in her sleep. Motumbe, you read about these basically completely opposed to your religion ceremonies happening, and you're just like, your dreams are just, you're thinking back to the Mwangi Expanse, and you're thinking about the demonic cults there and the cannibalism that happened and that kind of thing. And then all of the flesh on all of the people just begins to rot. And you wake up like sweating twice in the night and you just kind of fall back asleep. Like your body's fighting your mind to fall back asleep.
Yeah.
Eclipse. You wake Lyra at least twice in the night as well, but you're kind of talking in your sleep, and your dreams are just filled with lurking figures and with feathers. You have these black, dark feathers, a flapping of wings, a flock of crows, and you scream out in the night, and maybe it's not quite a scream, but it's just drowned. And Lyra can hear it, and she hears you say it multiple times during the night. And then it's morning. And
oh, God. What a wake-up call.
And you wake up to a cheerful rooster instead of a creepy raven.
That's nice.
And I think, you know, Ikmer's kind of nursing a hangover, maybe Eclipse as well, but what, you just had a bad night of sleep regardless. Matumbe, even without drinking any alcohol, is just like, he seems...
sluggish in the morning.
He seems sluggish, yeah. And... you guys make your way downstairs, and you, Ikmer probably wakes up first. You smell this scent of just crackling bacon, eggs, milk.
Scent of milk.
The scent of milk.
Interesting. All right.
So I imagine Ikmer probably wakes first, and he's just. Tell me, I mean, what would he do if
he did,
like, a fresh breakfast?
He'd be surprised, number one. Number two, would not be afraid to eat a lot. But he'd probably check on his friends.
Yeah. So Ikmer, like, it came up this morning, like, knocks on all the doors and then runs downstairs.
Yeah.
There's breakfast.
Make sure everyone's still around and okay, I guess. He'd probably check on Eclipse's room first.
Okay. So he knocks on Eclipse's door and there's no answer.
Knock harder.
And he knocks harder. And at this point, Lyra and Eclipse can hear the knocking from Lyra's room. And I assume you guys, like, get up, you know, pull on some clothes, head outside. You see Ikmer outside, like, ecstatic.
He'd be very happy.
Yeah. And then I'm guessing you check on Matumbe. You guys all kind of head downstairs. You can see downstairs, there's piles of food, and you can see, like, portioned off to the side is this, like, secondary pile. And Kendra says,
that's yours.
she knows. She saw you eat at the reception. She knows how much Ikmer likes to eat. So you guys are all sitting at breakfast. Do you discuss what happened last night?
Yeah, I think Lyra would talk to Eclipse a little bit about what she was saying in her sleep. So Lyra would probably say, Eclipse, did you sleep okay last night? You were talking a lot. Something about drowning?
I slept horribly. All I could think about was that crow that came into my room, and I just kept seeing feathers. And when it came into my room, I just kept cawing and saying drowned. I don't know what I don't even know what that means. When I tried to talk to it, it didn't respond. And then I called you and it disappeared.
Huh. Do you think it's connected to the figure you saw?
I would guess so. I don't understand why else a creepy man would be staring into my window.
Or screw it.
I was gonna say something.
But yeah, so you guys kind of discuss the events of last night. I'm imagining you probably loop Matumbe and Ikmer on the shit that happened. I don't know if Matumbe has anything to say about his findings, but
yeah, I slip.
What in the world?
I also had a unpleasant night's worth of sleep. I slept through the night, but I was tossing and turning because I I am worried. I took two tomes back to my bed and read one. I read the one with the fly and the skull on the front. I believe this is a tome of Urgothoa. I do not know if the three of you are familiar with this particular goddess, but she represents everything that I hold reprehensible. It appears that Professor Lorimore, though not directly associated with the believers of this, or I should not say believers, but I should say followers of this deity, he was studying them for reasons that I am not aware of. But from what I read in this tome, there are active members of this devotion who could potentially present a threat to us.
And as Matube tells you this, and he kind of, you know, he references that it's the Whispering Way that the professor mentioned in his journal. It's this group of people that you guys really know nothing about. I mean, you know what was written in the professor's journal, but all you really know is that, yes, there are ties to Urgothoa, and yes, the professor seemed to be in his journal entries interested in stopping them. They were interested in something in Ravengrove.
Yeah.
So, with that, Kendra is kind of, you know, shooting the shit with you guys. You can tell she seems like she might be in a little bit of a better mood today. Yesterday was a lot on her. But she tells you,
I'm really glad you guys all decided to stay. I'm really appreciative of the company. I know I mentioned yesterday that I could use some help researching, because I mean, you were all there for the reading of the journal. I'm suspicious about how my dad died. So there are a couple places that I always used to research, and my dad did when he was alive. Obviously, our library is open to all of you. You're more than welcome to use the library to research anything that you're looking for. We also, the Ravengrove Town Hall would have a bunch of records, maybe about Harrowstone, and records of people that would have been there. The Temple of Pharasma, I know, keeps the history on town.
Ooh, tell me more.
And they would know about basically anything. You would have to talk to Father Grimborough, but I imagine their records are pretty substantial. There's the Unfurling Scroll. It's kind of a scroll shop. It's a curiosity and magic shop in town, but they do have a lot of information tucked away. You'd probably have to make a deal with the shopkeeper, though. So there's all these places. I don't know if you guys want to go help me research, but I'm probably going to start here. There's also a lot of other leads in the will, so if you have something else you think would be more advantageous, go ahead and do it. I don't really need help here. And with that, she kind of heads to the library, and she's pulling out books. She's got a stack of five books. She sits down on the table. She puts on like these little spectacles, and she's reading.
Before we follow up on any of these leads, Kendra, I would like to know from you, what were you told of your father's untimely passing?
I was told it was an accident. I was told something fell on him. That's all I know. That's all the sheriff would tell me. I saw the body. If something fell on him, it crushed most of him.
I'm gonna go ahead. you know, she sounds genuine, but I do want to roll a sense motive here to make sure that she's not holding anything
back. Oh, yeah, go for it, for sure.
It's a 12.
A 12, yeah, I mean, nothing about her response gives you any hesitation that she's telling the truth. She mm-hmm. wouldn't, I mean, she's asking you guys for help, so she really has no real reason to lie to you.
Yeah.
As far as you know with that role, but you know, she's being pretty upfront with you.
Thank you, Miss Lorimer. I will discuss with my compatriots where we go from here.
Okay.
Kendra, you know, before you go, did your dad ever talk about some sort of secret code or like talking in key, like using a key to unlock a code, such as that in the text here.
And he produced like
the purple book.
She looks at it kind of puzzled, and she reads through it.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "Igmar, I think you wouldn't need something to decipher this. If you could just get a scroll of like comprehend languages, you should be able to figure this out without even studying it for long. I could study it if you'd like. If you leave it here with me, I'm pretty good at linguistics. I could take a crack at it, but I never heard about my dad using codes to write things or looking into things that were written in code. He never told any of that to me."
Okay, I thank you very much. You know, you mentioned that magic shop. It sounds like we're going to be going by there. We might stop by and see if we can't find something.
Okay, yeah. Let me know. If you give me a day, I could probably prepare it.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, don't spend any gold at, you know, unless there's a scroll you really want. I have some magical abilities my dad taught me.
Oh, well, that is so nice of you. And thanks again for letting us stay here. It was really nice being able to sleep in a bed.
Warms my heart and also makes me a little sad. I'm glad you had a place to sleep.
I mean, I've never seen or been able to be underneath so many blankets at one time.
And I think all the right, conversation
yeah,
was
so boy.
Yeah.
Matumbe and Z territory.
So I'm imagining you guys leave or maybe you discuss what you can explain about.
Yeah, I think we need to discuss as players where we want to go next.
All right.
Well, do we trust her enough to leave her with a book? With a purple book? Or is she just going to prepare the spell and then
use it later? If you feel like you need to keep it, she did say she would prepare comprehend languages tomorrow. And you could be there while she does that if you think that's the safest option. Otherwise, she can try and decipher it today.
Is there anybody else at the house?
It's literally at this point. At this point, like you guys, because of your fitful sleep, had kind of a late start. Most of the people that were at the funeral have left. Okay. They've okay. gone their separate ways. The pretty lady didn't say bye to you.
Oof.
But she did tell you, this is where you can find her and that kind of. So,
on the other hand, Ikmer might have not necessarily forgot, but just kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, if she's not right in front of him, he's not obsessed.
Yeah. Gotcha. No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But one thing I am kind of concerned about is Kendra possibly a target to where the leaving her alone isn't necessarily the smartest idea?
I mean, that might be, like, if you...
I mean, as a player,
that might be something where you would want to talk to the sheriff about if he has any ideas on that kind of stuff. Again, he's one of the many places where you guys kind of have maybe we should go do this, maybe we should go do that. Yeah. You certainly can go talk to him. If you want to leave somebody could certainly, you know, research in the library while keeping an eye on Kendra type of thing. If you think that, you know, she might be a target of whatever had happened to her father.
Can we get farther in? Like, is there anything that we can gain as players by being in the library and further studying? Or do we have to
You can make knowledge checks in the library that'll give you, you know, information on the Whispering Way, like information on some of the stuff that you've been hearing, information on the stuff in the will and in the journal and in the books. Like, he's got this vast library, and you rolled a 3 on your perception when you were looking for books he was like recently looking in, so yeah, you know, there's definitely stuff to be found in the library. In fact, the library is so full of knowledge that you can make all knowledge checks untrained in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, having a big old 0 in all of the knowledges, Ikmir might not be the best to leave around. Or in the library, I mean.
I have a lot of knowledges with a lot of high pluses. I can I would like to continue journeying with you guys. It makes sense mechanically for my player to stay.
Is this manor so large that she has servants that like help prepare food or anything, or it's just like a large normal house?
Pretty much a McMansion. Now, if you went to maybe the sheriff with significant concern, he could probably spare a guard or two if you talk to him, or you know a couple other people that are actually from town that might at least be able to keep an eye on the house, make sure nobody's like entering type of deal if you all wanted to travel together. So it's really up to you what you guys want to do from here.
What do you guys want to do?
I know Eclipse really wants to go to that second neighbor's house just to see if maybe whoever answers the door looks like the person who is hiding in the shadows.
Sure.
I think Lyra would be interested in that too.
Okay. I mean, there really is no reason to be scared that Kendra is in, like, there's no real threat.
Unless.
What do you roll me on knowledge local?
No.
If you have it.
I don't have it.
Are we in the library?
I'll help you with this one. It's more of a hearsay thing.
I don't have it.
No.
I don't think anyone has that.
Okay.
Could we ask Kendra if she feels safe? Or is that not?
You certainly could. What I was thinking is if you know, you guys were summoned to a funeral. You don't really know how long ago the professor died. There's things like gentle repose and stuff in Pathfinder that allow a dead body to be a dead body for a while. And you do know that in like her letter summoning you, they really couldn't do the funeral until you guys got there, until everybody like that was summoned was there, because they were all in the will.
I'm less concerned with her safety than I am the fact that there is a huge library here that we could learn stuff that could be very valuable for us later. I think maybe one of us should stay wherever we end up going today.
Yeah, and normally Eclipse would offer to stay, but she obviously really needs to go see that neighbor. Yeah.
So you're good. You're good.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay because I want to like hang out with you guys, but like I can. I've got knowledge stats. Like if I stayed, it would make sense. If neither, what I'm trying to say is, Brooks, Emily, if you guys don't particularly want to stay, I will.
Lyra also doesn't have great knowledge checks, like, at all. I think character-wise, she would be interested in what happened to Eclipse, since that kind of kept her up. Yeah, sure. We bonded. Right.
Fair enough. Was it a Horace sandwich?
No Horace.
Stop.
I'm not even going to ask. All right, ignorance.
I mean, I know that Ick's not great at knowledge. I didn't know if he would also want to stay because protection is like his thing.
Protection is his thing, and new friends are also on the table, and he has the possibility of defending.
There's still leftover breakfast too.
Ooh, that's
yeah. It's really up to you guys, but I think make a decision.
I think.
All right, what are we doing today? So you're checking out the house next door.
Absolutely.
What are we doing after that? If we're adventuring away, I'll come with. But if we're checking up with people in town, then I'll stay.
We could maybe go to the sheriff and
I don't know. Like, okay, let's just.
Okay, so what are you guys? What's the full plan? What do you guys have planned?
So, what we are going to do is split off. Eclipse, Lyra, and Ikmer are going to investigate the neighbor's house while Matumbe stays back and does further research in the library. After Eclipse, Lyra, and I investigate the neighbor's house, we are going to go to the sheriff. From there, hopefully talk him into leaving a guard with Kendra. After that, the full party is going to further investigate other things in the town. Okay. As a full party.
We did it.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yay.
Okay. So Matumbe stays behind.
Yep.
And then Eclipse, Ikmer, and Lyra are all leaving. And I think the first place you said you were heading is straight to the neighbor two doors down's house.
Yeah.
Yes.
Eclipse and Lyra, can you fill me in, I guess, on what exactly you saw. I'm not sure how I can defend against a raven.
Oh, I also saw like a guy kind of hiding behind the building, and so I saw a shadowy raven, and I also saw a shadowy guy kind of hiding behind a building.
Lyra, did you see anything?
No, I didn't hear or see anything. But I think Eclipse is probably... She saw something, so it's worth checking it out.
Oh, okay, well, just stand behind me. I'll make sure you guys are nice and safe.
All right, so I'm assuming then Ikmer would knock on the door.
Yeah.
If you're at the second... Yeah,
I'm guessing he'll ask Eclipse to point him in the right way, right house, and okay. And he would take the front.
Okay, so Ikmer knocks on the door, and you guys wait for, it seems like a significantly longer period of time than you would expect. And then you hear the lock unlock, it clicks open, and the door opens, and there's this, she's maybe 4'6", this older lady, very frail looking and small.
So Eclipse size, almost.
towers over me.
Towers over Eclipse, and she says, hello, who are you, young man? And she cracks open her granny beer.
I'm sorry to to disturb you, ma'am, but you wouldn't happen to have seen an older gentleman and a raven around here, would you? Especially last night.
Oh, do you mean Horace?
Oh no,
she knows
Horace.
No, she says, "Oh, I'm not sure who you're talking about, but I do go to bed a bit early. Is there a reason you came knocking on my door?"
Eclipse will step up and she goes, "Ma'am, there was a man." There was a man who was hiding behind your house last night, and he was staring at me through my window, and I'm concerned for your safety as well as mine.
Oh dear. I live here alone. My husband died 6 years ago, and that's a little terrifying for me, if you don't mind me being frank. I don't know of such a man. I haven't seen anybody around my house.
You're Frank?
No, that was my husband. And don't call me Shirley.
She lives there alone. She invites you in, and she's more than happy to show you around her place if you're more suspicious. She does, like, invite you in for tea, as old ladies do, and she gives you a couple lozenges from her coat.
Oh, ma'am?
Some hard,
can I?
Hard caramels?
Some hard caramels.
Excuse me, ma'am, can I look in your backyard or around the area Eclipse saw?
Oh, sure, dearie. Come with me, like, wherever you want to go. I can unlock the gate for you, and as long as you're not going to rob me, but there's not much I can do about that, there is there.
Can I do, like, a perception or survival or something to see if I've seen recently, like, disturbed areas?
Yes, you certainly can roll a perception. Or survival would be this one if you're looking for, like, footprints.
Yeah. Ooh, survival's actually not as good for me, but Ick could probably also help. Yeah. Or I could help out Ick.
Being on the trail his life, this is actually one he's pretty good at.
All right. I'll try and assist you. I certainly don't assist.
Total of 7.
And yeah. I got 3 on the die.
I mean, from what you can tell, she has a path leading to her back gate, and it looks like any other path would, so there are, you know, footsteps, but they could be from any number of people going back into her backyard or whatever. Like, you know, you have footsteps like her size for the most part. Of her just coming in and out of the backyard. You can't really discern a difference between any of the tracks, but you're not convinced there's evidence here that somebody was skulking around her house.
Can I do a sense motive
on her?
Lady? Yeah.
Certainly, yeah.
Oh. 5.
I could aid with that.
Well, you could do your own, probably.
Oh, okay. 12.
You can tell she's being mostly honest.
Mostly.
She certainly lives there alone. And her willingness to let you inside is kind of proof of that.
Oh, really?
She shouldn't really have anything to hide in her house. But if one of you wants to make like a diplomacy check, she might have a little bit more to say.
Okay. Ikmer has that. And if Lyra...
I can try to aid.
Okay.
10?
Yeah.
Or if I... With my
with your bonus, if you roll over a 10, you aid.
I'm able to aid.
So you get +2.
All right.
On top of your stuff.
9.
With the +2?
With the +2.
Certainly not. Yeah.
I rolled better than that.
She continues to tell you the same stuff that you've heard. She's starting to get a little nervous that you're sticking around and, like, you know,
you seem to be asking her all these questions. She's an old lady. She doesn't necessarily know the answers to, so she's a little nervous. You're not getting, like, leaving her house.
Okay.
So
Eclipse is still truly frightened of someone hanging around her house and feels bad for this lady who lives alone, and so she's gonna say, ma'am, you should really stay with any close relatives you have for the night.
Roll your own diplomacy.
Oh, okay. I got 18.
And she says, there will be no need, dear. I didn't want to tell you before, but I might know the man that you mentioned. Can you describe him a little better to me? Was he, a little, like a taller man, looked kind of skulky?
Out of character, don't know.
Oh, yeah, he was skulking around.
So probably yes.
He sometimes comes into town. He's, if it's the man I'm thinking of, it's probably the man that the children know as Entrellis the Mad. And he's a kind of like a, he's a hermit that lives in the forest. He's...
The children know the skulking, creepy man.
He's like friends a legend with children. Around the town. He's friends with children.
He's a legend around the town.
Oh, God.
Everyone knows to look out for...
It's a real ladybug scenario.
Oh, no.
That's a joke that 1% of the listening audience will pick up on.
Zero. Well, I mean, except that we're all going to listen to it, so five people out of five, so I guess...
That's 100%.
Glad everyone got that.
And Trellis, though?
No, it's like it's like 80% because my parents, they're going to listen.
And Trellis the Mad.
So, and Trellis the Mad, she continues on to tell you he's kind of like, he's one of the town's, like, urban legends, which is why the children know of him. Like, it's always like, and Trellis the Mad will get you, and if you stay up too late or whatever.
Okay.
So, the children know about it. It's something that, it's something of an urban legend. Some people claim they've seen him. Some people actually have, this old lady included. She thinks she knows, I think this guy is Entrellis the Mad. So.
Something to ask Kendra about, but at this point I think we're kind of overstaying our welcome at the old lady's place.
Probably.
You cook and leave. So she kind of, she goes back inside. I assume you leave her alone. She...
Leave or I'll call the
Jesus
girl.
Fuck.
Wow.
Nice drop.
I'm sorry.
I'm all over the sirens.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now let's go to the cops.
So are you guys heading to...
We'll call it a deal.
Steve.
I'm trying.
Somebody put a muzzle on him. Are the three of you heading to the sheriff's office?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Steve, why don't we get back to you? Are you researching anything? Is Matumbe researching anything in particular?
I don't think anything in particular. Matumbe is going to go to the library and kind of look for any tomes that seem to have gotten more attention than others, or things that look very exotic or important.
Okay, expensive. Roll a perception check then.
All right, my perception is a 12.
12, you see one or two tomes that look like they're a little bit, like, everything is pretty flat on his bookshelves, and there's a couple that are a little pulled out, so... Yep. So if you take one of them off the shelf, you would be able to tell it's dealing with some darker stuff. Ooh. Which leads you to believe that, this might, because the professor was interested in Urthoa and that kind of thing, it's probably one of the other things that he studied.
Is it darker stuff like Urthoa?
It's like necromancy type, he's studying... the magic of undeath.
Okay.
So this book is kind of about the magic of undeath.
Yeah.
Can you roll me either a knowledge arcana or religion?
Both of them are the same, so.
And because you're in the library, take a +2 on this roll.
Oh man, that's a 16 on the die. So for knowledge arcana and knowledge religion, I have a +7. That's a +9 with that extra +2. So we're looking at a 25 total.
Woo-wee! Yeah, boy!
All right, so you know some stuff from this book in particular about the Whispering Way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking into this book, and it's kind of about undeath. And as you're reading, you know, first and foremost, that the Whispering Way is a sinister organization of necromancers that's been active in the Inner Sea region for thousands of years.
I do not enjoy hearing the word necromancer.
Agents of the Whispering Way often seek alliances with undead creatures or are themselves undead. The Whispering Way's most notorious member was Tar Bafon, the Whispering Tyrant. Although the society itself has existed much longer than even that mighty necromancer, the Whispering Way itself is a series of philosophies that can only be transferred via whispers. The philosophies are never written or spoken out of loudly, making the exact goals and nature of the secretive philosophy difficult for outsiders to learn much about. And finally, exact details on the society are difficult to discern, but chief among the Whispering Way's goals are discovering the formula for creating liches and engineering the release of the Whispering Tyrant. Agents often travel to remote sites or areas plagued by notorious haunts or undead menaces to perform field research or even to capture unique monsters. Their symbol is a gagged skull, and those who learn too many of the way's secrets are often murdered, and their mouths mutilated to prevent their bodies from divulging secrets via Speak with Dead.
All right, so you alluded to the Whispering Tyrant several times, not only in that last little monologue, but earlier. So Matumbe is going to roll a knowledge religion on the Whispering Tyrant.
Okay.
Do I have a +2 because I'm in the library?
Sure.
All right. It's a 12.
I thought you were going to melt this die.
It's a different die.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm rolling so poorly. It's unbelievable.
So Matumbe is heard only in passing of the history of the Whispering Tyrant. He knows that basically Ustalav was enslaved by this mighty magician who then was killed by the god Aridin. And the act of being killed by a god made his undeath that much more powerful. He came back as this lich and enslaved all of Ustalav for hundreds of years.
Okay.
But that's what Matumbe knows. Matumbe knows he's no longer active. He wasn't killed, but he was sealed. So we'll flash back to the rest of the group. So Eclipse, Ipmer, and Lyra are headed to the sheriff's office, correct?
Yeah.
So, you guys find your way there, and maybe you ask a person or two in the streets, like, where is the sheriff? You remember his name was Benjen Collar. And he is there when you arrive. It's kind of like a regular police office, so you guys can pretty much just walk straight up to it.
Hello? Anyone here?
You can walk through the front door. There's like an office and a reception type thing. So I assume you walk in, and the receptionist greets you, and she says,
"Oh, hello, do you have an appointment?"
We do not. In fact, we've been seeing people outside of our house. Well, I guess it's not our house. It's we're just staying here for a bit. But we're just passing through, but we've seen some people outside of our house, I guess.
We'd like to talk to the sheriff.
Oh, that's a more specific request. Sure, he's here. He's here. I don't believe he's busy right now. You certainly can go into his office. Let me just let him know.
And she goes into his office, and you hear kind of like a muffled muffled conversation happen in the room. And she comes back out, and she says,
"If you could just wait 5 minutes, he'll be right with you."
And so you guys wait in the main lobby of the sheriff's office, and eventually you're let into Vengeance office. And he says,
"Oh, hello there. What brings you to my office?"
Sounds like a native Ustalavian.
He's a little more gruff. Traditional rough impression accent.
Well, we've possibly seen this guy.
Entrellis the Mad.
I've heard about Entrellis. He's a ruffian. He lives off in the woods. He'll do no harm to you. He's been living out there for, 15 years or so.
So he's real?
Ah, yes. We like to tell the children that he's some figment of their imagination, but he's certainly a man, and he's certainly in the woods.
Well, does he ever, hurt anybody?
Not that I've been sheriff to apprehend him for. He's mostly a docile maniac, if there is such a term. He murmurs to himself, but he keeps to himself, and that's all we could really hope for.
Is he connected with any drownings? Or
no,
ravens?
Not that I've heard. Honestly, I haven't heard him be part of a crime or anything. He went mad one day and left his home in disrepair, went into the woods, and God knows what he does.
Oh, no, we're not saying that he did anything wrong. We just seen him around, and I guess we've got questions?
Oh, certainly, feel free to ask them. I know who you're talking about, if it is that man. But and as he's describing this to you, his door flies open, and it's a town guard, and he says,
Sir, you need to come to the monument. You need to come to the monument now."
And what's the monument?
You wouldn't know this, but there is a monument in the center of town. And he's like, what's happened? What's going on there? And the guard says, we need to control the crowd. And he kind of grabs Benjamin, the sheriff, and drags him out of the room. Do you guys follow?
Yes. Sheriff, I can help. I'm pretty good at,
Yeah, they've already left.
I've got my shield.
They've already left.
So you guys rush out of the sheriff's office, and it's, you race through the middle of town, and you guys are honestly struggling to keep up with these two. The guard seems like he's in an all-out panic. And remember, it's still relatively early morning for these folks. You see this crowd assembled in the middle of a square, and it looks like it might be almost every person that lives in this tiny town. And you three manage to push because the sheriff is able to kind of push through the crowd using his authority and be like, split the road, let me get through. He gets through, and you guys manage to shuffle through behind him. And what you see in front of you is this beautiful statue of a memorial, but what's off about it is that it's just covered in red.
and there's red on the ground, and you realize it's blood. There's blood on the ground and blood on the statue, and you see a letter written on the monument. And I need you guys to finish your drinks.
I knew it. Oh, God.
I totally knew it, too.